Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, horticulturist, landscape designer, garden author. I love helping people with their landscape questions, their gardening questions. I love seeing beautiful gardens and just geeking out. And so I'm so glad you're joining us this morning. We have a great show for you today. We have Leah Brooks coming up. She has a wonderful announcement that I am very excited that she's going to share on our program. And we are going to be taking your gardening questions and also your text messages. But right now, we're going to hear from John Denver.
Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, someone bless these seeds I sow. Someone warm them from below till the rain comes tumbling down.
And now it's time for the dirty word of the day on Better Lawns and Gardens with Teresa Watkins.
And the dirty word of the day is avocado pear. This week I was munching on chips and guacamole, and Lizzie, do you like guacamole?
I love avocados and I love guacamole.
And so I was eating some chips and guacamole this week, and at the same time as I was munching on them, Jim in Newberry, he emailed me about his rainfall, and he's excited about his two new avocado pears. So thank you, Jim. I took it as the universe's hint, and so the dirty word of the day is avocado pear. So avocados are native to the Americas and were first domesticated in Mesoamerica more than 5,000 years ago. Then as now, it is prized for its large and unusually oily fruit, very healthy oily fruit. The tree likely originated in the highlands bridging south central Mexico and Guatemala. Its fruit is sometimes also called an alligator pear and is botanically a large berry containing a single large seed. Avocado pears, or aka alligator pear, are known as the fertility fruit. Its scientific name is Persea americana, but avocado derives from the Nahuatl word aguacatl, which also refers to a certain part of the male anatomy that the fruit sometimes resembles. In English, the word almost has the same pronunciation as the Spanish abogado, lawyer. In Mexico, it is called the aguacate. So use your imagination to understand why the Aztecs called it the fertility fruit. Legend has it that an early description of avocado called it the abogado pear, leading to the misunderstanding of alligator pear. The fact that the shell of the fruit looks vaguely crocodilian doesn't hurt. So where does the word guacamole come from? In South America, some call it La manzana del invierno, the apple of the winter. But if you happen to be in North America, mash up some avocados with some herbs and lime and call it aguacamole. Aguaco, A-H-U-A-C-A, which means avocado, and mole, M-O-L-L-I, which means sauce. Hence, guacamole. The National Avocado Day is July 31st, and we have National Guacamole Day, September 16th, and National Tortilla Day, February 24th. And of course, Cinco de Mayo is May 5th. But you can eat avocados and guacamole every day out of the year. So our dirty word of the day is avocado pear. And I just thought people would not understand why it's called a pear, P-E-A-R. But if you look at the shape, you can kind of get the hint.
It really does.
Yeah. And so thank you to Jim for the inspiration. I really do appreciate it. And go out and have some guacamole.
Yes. And a margarita.
And a margarita. No salt, please. On ice.
No. Know what I do? What? I add a shot, and this will sound so gross until you try it, a shot of olive juice.
That
is
incredible.
So
good.
Good.
I have to try that.
It is.
I have to try that. And so if you would like to go ahead and check out our Facebook page. That's Better Lawns and Gardens. also to like us and give us 5 stars. We would love that. But if you did not get last month's newsletter, starting up the newsletter again, it's called In Your Backyard, tells you what to do each month and gives you some of my design tips, some of all the different types of landscape malpractice that I do, and it's just a lot of fun. So you can get that. It's free. I don't spam, and it's going to come out in the next 2 weeks for June. And so they can go on to Better Lawns and Gardens and sign up for it. They can also go to my webpage, she-consulting.com, and you can read it there and also to sign up for it as well.
Yes, I agree. I'm excited about this.
So coming up, we have Leah Brooks. She is an amazing gardener. She is also the representative for Tower Gardens, and she helps volunteer. She is such an amazing person, does so much for the community, and she has a wonderful, wonderful personality. She always makes me smile. She is coming up next to give a big announcement and to encourage people to get out there and garden. So I'm looking forward to talking with her. Also, too, if you would like to write down the phone number, 1-888-455-2967. Then you can hold your questions till the end. At the bottom of the hour, we will be taking phone calls again.
Yes.
And then you can always text anytime, 23680. And so Saturday morning, from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. Leah Brooks is just an amazing, accomplished person. She is a wonderful grower. She is a representative for Tower Gardens. She has orchards and fruit trees. I'm going to talk to her about it, but she has a wonderful, wonderful opportunity coming up, and she wanted to announce it here. So I'm so pleased to have her. Good morning, Leah. How are you?
Good morning, Teresa. What a great way to start the weekend talking to you.
I certainly appreciate it, but it's mutual. I'm going to just let you know. I think you're just awesome. And so you have been busy this spring. I've been watching your Facebook page. You have been harvesting vegetables and fruits and all kinds of delicious, delicious edible plants. And I hear you have exciting news, okay, about your women's organization. So tell us about it.
Yes. Oh, we are so excited. So I'm part of a 130-year-old women's service organization called the Village Improvement Association of Orange City. And we have a cottage called the Albertus Cottage. It's a historic home. I think you're familiar with it.
I am.
And it's gorgeous, isn't it? And
it is.
We felt like it was time to spruce up the grounds. And because our role is a teaching organization, we thought it would be amazing to use the grounds to educate the public about the beauty and the importance of native wildflowers and plants.
That's wonderful. So now you applied for a grant from which foundation?
So the Florida Wildflower Foundation. And I got to tell you, I'm shocked that I got it because I am not a professional grant writer or anything like that. But they were so friendly and helpful. And we heard we got the grant a couple days ago.
And how much is it?
$1,800.
I think that's wonderful. The Florida Wildflower Foundation is just, again, another incredible organization. You know, Florida is so blessed to have these associations that want to provide resources for small groups and cities and counties to, you know, help reestablish, you know, great environmental areas. So what are you going to do with the grant?
Well, so we're going to plant native plants that support native pollinators and provide a wildlife habitat. And the exciting thing is that we're flanked by Dickinson Park on one side, and that has the beautiful butterfly garden that you designed and actually where you and I met.
Yes.
With a shovel in hand.
Yes.
And the Mill Lake Natural Wetland area on the other side. So people walk and bike, you know, from one to the other. And they passed by the Albertus Cottage, and we have two benches there already. And so we thought, what a wonderful space to put native plants, wildflowers. People can sit, watch the wildlife, and the city is donating informational plaques so we can educate people.
I love Orange City. Your city is just very environmentally open to just providing a lot of parks and resources. It's incredible, yeah. And they are beautiful. And so the Albertus Cottage is, you know, just a historic place that people will love to go to, and they'll see what they'll be able to do with it. So so tell us a little bit about your organization.
Well, so, you know, the VIA, our first project that we did must have been 130 years ago. I didn't do it, of course. My, you know, four mothers did it. They put gas streetlights along 1792. So ever since then, it's just been a service organization that's raised money, supported projects, you know, helped with parks. We actually own Dickinson Park. I don't know if you know that.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it was granted to us, gifted to us years ago, and so we own that park, and the city maintains it, but, you know, we help out with that. And it's a fun club to be involved in. We also have another thing that we're doing here, too, and what we're doing is plant swaps. So we're trying to encourage the whole community to be sustainable, to grow some of their own food, to learn a little bit about homesteading. And so my friend Sarah Mazey of Wild Culture has been doing these plant swaps every 3 months. And we're bringing in experts who do educational talks, and we, you know, swap everything.
That's great, because, you know, you can share a lot of the food you grow, because you grow so much you can't use it all. And a plant swap would be a great place to get new plants and swap the ones that you don't need and have a lot of. So that's wonderful. So so tell me a little bit about the plant swap, your open hands, open arms philosophy.
Yeah, you know, we thought long and hard about how we wanted to do that. Did we want to give out, like, tickets? You take one, give one. And then we decided, no, we're going to have an open arms philosophy. We invite people to come and bring whatever they want and take whatever they need. And you know, gardeners are so generous. So we always have those gardeners who show up with, you know, truckload worth of stuff, bags of things. And then we have people who kind of timidly come in, and they might have like a packet of seeds, and they don't know what they're doing, and they're intimidated. And they just get pulled into the group. They go from table to table. They get so empowered. They learn how to grow these things. I tell you, it's so excited. And they walk away with an armload of stuff. And then we have the experts who come in. We've had people talk about trees. We've had people talk about orchids. I've talked about planting seasons. But it's beyond that. We do, you know, how to make sourdough, soap, everything. So it's an extremely empowering experience for everybody.
It's just a quaint little city. If you've never been to Orange City, which is next to DeLand, then, you know, it's an opportunity for you to go. But it's also wonderful to bike and hike through it. They really do have a wonderful park system. So I love this. I love that you're empowering people, which you've always done with your work and encouragement to grow food and plant natives. So, Leah, do you need any help with this demonstration garden?
We need all hands on deck. We'll be planting on June 29th, and anyone who's interested in our planting party can go to, the website is gfworangecity.org, gfworangecity.org, and sign up to join us, and you can come for just an hour if you want, or the whole time. And Jonathan Shipper of Mockingbird Native Nursery from Deltona will be there with the plants, and he's guiding a lot of this project because he is registered with the Florida Wildflower Foundation. Bring a shovel, bring some gloves, bring your kids.
And water.
Yeah.
Will you have water there? Water?
Yes, we have a hose. We're ready.
Okay, there you go. So that's wonderful. So, Leah, tell us a little bit about your fruit orchard growing right now. What do you have there?
You know, I love my fruit orchard. My husband didn't want fruit trees all over my yard. You know, I have 2 acres.
Yes.
But he said, I don't want to mow around your fruit trees. I don't want to be picking up stuff. I don't want a 25-foot tall peach. So I've got this book called Grow a Little Fruit Tree by Ann Rolfe. It's fantastic. She teaches you how to keep your trees to about 6 foot tall. And so I have a 25 by 25 space that I have done the cardboard mulch compost method, and I have at least 15 fruit trees in there. Nectarines, peaches, plums, apple, mulberries, avocado, cherries, persimmon. I mean, there's so many. And then under those trees, I have brown cherries, Everglade tomatoes, ginger, and tons of the wildflowers that I love.
Oh, it's just wonderful. I love seeing it, and I love you posting your pictures of your meals. I will tell you, you make me hungry. Okay, so what I need you to do is I want you to call back in June. June, give us the details again, what time of the day, and where to meet, and how they can get more information about the Alberta's Cottage Native Plant installation.
I will definitely call back in June. It's going to be June 29th. Go to GFWC. I think I said that wrong last time.
Yeah.
GFWC, orangecity.org.
All right.
And you'll see it on the website, or just text me.
Exactly. So give us your contact information.
Sure. My phone number is 386-473-2638. And my email is gardensmarter@gmail.com. But if you, I'll be home today, but tomorrow I'm going to be on an unplugged cruise for a week. So if you don't hear back from me, don't be surprised.
You're going to be, it's very, very relaxing. I'm so glad you're going on the week-long cruise. Where are you going?
We're going to Mexico. We're going to... honestly, I can't even remember because I have plants on my brain right now.
There you go.
It's Western Caribbean.
Oh, how lovely. Well, you'll get to have some guacamole somewhere along the way. So I love that. All right. So, Leah, I'm going to post this information on our Facebook Better Lawns and Gardens page and have people get a hold of you. They can go to your Facebook page. Gardensmarter at gmail.com is your email. And what is your Facebook page name?
So my Facebook page is just my name, Leah Brooks.
There you go. Easy to find. Well, congratulations on receiving the grant. Congratulations to the Florida Wildflower Foundation for providing you the assistance. I certainly appreciate it, and I'm looking forward to seeing your beautiful garden when you install it.
Teresa, thank you so much for all of your support. You've just been fantastic, and you know, your guidance when I need it for what to plant, you're just great. I appreciate you.
You're welcome, honey. Enjoy your trip. Bon voyage.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And well done, Village Improvement Association of Orange City. They're 130 years old.
This is so exciting. I can't wait to see the final project.
Have you ever been to Orange City?
Yes, I love Orange City, but I'm not like knowledgeable on them.
Oh yeah, yes. They have so many different parks, and they just provide so many opportunities to walk and hike and bike, and it's just a really great little city. That little area of Volusia County, DeLand and Quality Green Specialist Nursery, they're all so gung-ho, and these cities are so old. And they look great. So we do appreciate that, Lee Brooks. Thank you so much. Congratulations on your grant.
She makes me want to go, I would love to be a part of that event if I could.
She's so encouraging.
She does. She makes me feel like I can go out and I can grow stuff. Yeah.
Well, we're going to take a break right now. It's a perfect time to call or text your gardening question. You can call 1-888-45-LAWNS, or that's 888-455-2967, or you can text me at 236800. No garden question is too silly or wrong. Just call us. We would love to hear from it. I've got questions from Ira, and then also just different information coming up about mealy cup sage, and we just got lots of great information. It's a great time to be gardening this week. Take advantage of the rainfall. If your irrigation system goes on, check it. You may be watering too much. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios and Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. If you know someone who loves to garden or has a question, please let them know about Better Lawns and Gardens. You can tell them to call in with their gardening questions so I can help them too. Call me at 1-888-455-2967 or you can text 23680. I want to give a big shout out to Mike. Hang in there. Hopefully you'll get some more rain this week. Ira, we're going to be talking about your gardening question in just a minute. Eileen, I want to say hi to Eileen and Beverly, and then Patricia and Alan. So thank you so much for posting on our Facebook page and being a part of our Better Lawns and Gardens family. We love having you. So this week, I just want to just tell you that even if you're used to gardening, you can find misinformation and think it applies to you. So I was just looking up some seeds and doing some research on plants. And all of a sudden, I see on this website of this grower's page that witch hazel would grow here in Florida. Now, are you familiar with witch hazel?
Yes.
Okay. And so I went to the page, and it showed that the zones for witch hazel was 3 to 8, but then it showed a map of where it grows natively, and it will grow. And Florida is in that zone. The whole state of Florida, it's supposed to be native. Well, what? I know witch hazel doesn't grow here.
Right.
Because I would be growing it. But it said it was native. So I just want to just, caution everyone, caveat emptor, that if you're buying a plant online, ordering plants from out of state, make sure that that plant will grow, because websites can be wrong. Internet databases can be wrong. Plant apps can be wrong. So if you have a question about it and you're not sure, I want you to, check multiple sources. You can contact your local extension offices. You can do Google Images to find out what a plant name is. Describing a plant, just upload your photograph to Google Images, and it will tell you, give you some options. Check out EDU sites. When you put EDU into the internet data, the search engine, it will bring up the universities and local extension offices information, and you can look at it there. Also, state plant atlases, you can look it up there. So just be careful. If I had not known, and you can go on to my Facebook page and also on Better Lawns and Gardens and see the two graphics that show, one, that it's native to Florida and that it will grow throughout the whole state, witch hazel, and then the other one that says there's no witch hazel in the state. It's never been found growing here. So it was kind of very interesting. My dear friend Ira in Lakeland, he had a watering question this week, and it was so good. I just wanted to just let everyone know. He says, my purple flowers aren't purple anymore and don't look so good. Should I snip them off or leave them? They've been in about 6 weeks, and they're not used to the soil yet. Do I need to water them more? Well, Ira, those are great questions. Thank you for the photograph. And so your blue flower, or purplish blue flower, is a mealy cup sage. Now, it's a long-lived annual, and in the right conditions will become established after a few weeks. Now, mealy cup doesn't sound like a nice word, mealy. It's always a word that I think of as being gristly and grainy, and it's not really an attractive word. But it fits this salvia variety very well. And so the mealy cup sage, his photograph showed that the blooms had already been spent. So I said, you can snip those off. Go right ahead, deadhead them, and they will do so much better. And then also, too, annuals get established very quickly. So after a few weeks, you don't need to be watering them every day. Plants do not need watering every day. They just need to have the right soil conditions for their species. And if you have the right plant in the right place, you may only have to water once a week. But after 6 weeks or 2 months, they're going to be adapted just on rainfall. So you don't need to water. Now, saying that, if you have annuals like mealy cup sage in containers, especially clay or porous containers, they may need watering every 2 to 3 days because the soil doesn't hold on to moisture and it evaporates so quickly in the containers. The best way not to have to water is to replenish your soil mixture. And because that's what plants eat. They don't eat fertilizer. We don't feed them so that they have a meal of fertilizer. Plants decompose. They break down the soil. Plants eat soil. And so if you're having to water a hanging basket or a container often, check the root system, check the soil. It may not have any nutrition in it anymore. It may have just broken down so that all you have is the roots. So what you need to do is take the plants out of the pot, cut a third of the roots off if it's girdled, or add more potting mixture or black cow or compost to your container, and then just put them right back into the pot, your annuals or your shrubs, your perennials, back into the containers, and you'll be back to watering once or twice a week. Containers that need watering every day need to have the soil refreshed. But you don't need to throw out the old soil. We learned that from our friend Dr. Gary Bachman. He never throws his soil away, but he adds new soil every year. So refresh that soil, and you'll reduce your watering needs. And either in the springtime or the fall is a good time to refresh. So thank goodness, Ira, for your question. It's wonderful. Hopefully you're getting lots of rain this week. Let's go to Lois in Orlando. Good morning, Lois. How can I help you?
Good. I just talked to you a little bit ago, but yes. I just went outside, and I have six drift roses. The first one I had is a white one, full grown. It was so full of flowers, you couldn't see the green leaves. And now, I've never seen it look like that. It has black spots and no buds coming behind it.
Okay.
It's my favorite, my oldest.
Okay. So, so it is in full sun?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Full sun. And when did it bloom last for you?
It just finished up blooming. It just
okay.
had a wonderful bloom.
All right. And so what time of the day do you irrigate at?
I just hand do and whenever I can, usually in the morning.
Usually in the morning. That's a good time to do it. Try not to get the leaves wet. Drift roses are pretty usually healthy, and they don't really get disease issues. So they may be getting a little too much water, but go ahead and just trim it back. Just deadhead it a little bit. And it should be fine, and you should see new growth in it, you know, within the next couple of weeks.
Okay, because I've had it for years, and it's never been a problem, ever.
Okay,
you know?
And so do you trim it back often?
I did in the spring, and it came back just full, and as I said, the flowers are unreal. It was just a mass of white flowers, which it does do.
Right.
But I've never seen the black spots on it. You think it's watering?
Well, it's watering in the rainfall. So we've had a lot of rain at night. And so Florida is just the perfect climate. It's the trifecta. We have the disease issues, we have the humidity, and we have the rainfall. And so, you know, it's just going to get disease issues if we're getting a lot of rain at night. So you may want to reduce your watering a little bit so the ground is not water. Is not staying wet. And then also pick up any of the leaves or petals that have the spots on them. Okay. And just be clean around your garden. And it should come right back again. So I'm not worried. But
Do you recommend clipping it back a little bit or just letting it be?
No, I would clip it back. I would go ahead and clip it back and give it a fresh start again. You can also use a systemic fertilizer that has fertilizer and disease control in it too as well. But let me know how it does. It should recover. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. We're in our last half 15 minutes or so. You have plenty of time to get your gardening questions in. 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text me at 23680. And we'll go from there. So I do appreciate everyone calling in. And it's just important to understand the seriousness of watering. And just stick your finger in the ground. It's cool, moist, or damp. You do not need to water. So let's go to Michael. Good morning, Michael. How can I help you?
Oh, good morning. First of all, I was telling Lizzie, I wanted to thank you for your tomato thing that you had last week. It was tremendous. Unfortunately, I was in the shower and missed most of it.
Oh, no.
But I have the cherry tomatoes, and they're in about a 5-gallon pot.
Uh-huh.
They're doing extremely well. I have them sitting in a one of those pans underneath that you buy at the stores.
Sure.
That keep the water, because they just drink that. The water goes away every day.
Right.
But Teresa, I've got a problem. They're about 24, 28 inches high. They're getting yellow flowers on them, and they're beautiful, except that they've got some green bugs that are sort of like a triangle or a square or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's blue jays that are landing on them to get the bugs. And when the blue jays land on them, they seem to, like, break the limbs off. And I just don't, know what.
Okay, so do you have a tomato cage around them?
Yes, they're on a cage, yes, ma'am.
Okay, so the blue jays are not landing on the tomato cage. They're actually landing on the plant.
Well, I haven't seen them, but I have them right around all the time, and that's the only thing that, I mean, it's not squirrels on them.
Right.
The squirrels just have wonderful time with the mangoes. So, I just put the cages around them lately because the cage, you know, they got a little bit big, and I wanted to support them better.
Sure, sure. Okay. Well, one, if you get rid of the food source for the birds, then you know they're not going to be able to go after them. So, uh-huh. You know, you want to use an insecticidal soap or oil for
okay.
for the beetles. So those little beetles, and that'll reduce the pests that you know the bugs can go after.
Yeah, well, that sounds real logical. I mean, I should have known that. The other thing is that they're drinking the water. The plants are drinking the water every day out of those little things. And you're always saying everybody's watering too much.
Well, you know, it just depends on the bucket. So if it's in full sun and there's not a lot, do you have the whole bucket, a 5-gallon bucket of soil? Or
yes.
It is. And so what kind of soil's in it?
It's top. Garden soil, topsoil, and then the soil that you get from the recycled stuff
okay.
from the city that has the sewer. You know, they clean it up, and
yeah.
It's supposed to be real rich.
I mean, it is okay, but it should hold on to the moisture really well. So I would just say that you know if you're having to water every day, if it's completely dry, so I want you to stick your finger in the soil, Mike, just down all the way down to your okay. second knuckle. Okay, and if the soil yeah. is cool, wet, or moist, damp, you do not need to water.
Bless
let it
you,
let it dry out, okay?
Thank you, both of you. Thank you so very much.
You're
Appreciate
welcome,
it.
Michael. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And we love having Michael call in. So Scott from Palm Bay, how can I help you?
Hello.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. Boy, you guys, you said you've been having a bunch of rain. I'm going to have to move up by you guys here in South Palm Bay. We went about 2.5 months without a drop.
I know. That's what Mike in Venice was telling me. And you guys, you're just not living right. You know, the clouds are going all the way around you.
I don't know about that, but hey, anyway, I have a couple quick questions, if you don't mind.
Sure. No, go right ahead.
Gerbera daisies. I heard that they, after like a couple of years, they sink down into the soil and they just won't bloom anymore, that you have to bring them up closer to the surface. Is there any truth to that?
You know, I haven't seen it. Gerber daisies, to me, don't last so long. So after a couple of years, they kind of rot at the bottom of the soil, even if during the summer with the rainfall. So, you know, if you need to bring them up, just to kind of lift them up and see if that works for you. I've never heard it, though.
Okay. They just don't last long. Okay, I'll
yeah, I just think of them as annuals. They're not perennials. They're not like your roses or your irises or, you know, your shrubs. And so if I can get Gerber daisies to last 2 years, I've done really well.
Oh, great. Okay, yeah, these have gone a couple of years, so I guess I'm happy.
Well, good for you. Yeah.
Yeah. My azaleas are slowing down. I think by the 1st of June, they'll be done. And I'm going to cut back those long, leggy shoots.
Wonderful.
Is that a good time to feed them?
Yes, go right ahead and feed them. Right now, this is a good month to feed them. In fact, you know, depending where you are in the state, fertilizer ban starts June 1st. So you want to go ahead and feed them now. And June is just the very last month you want to cut them. So they're going to start producing their blooms for next year. But let me just ask you, what kind of azaleas are they? Are they the regular old-fashioned azaleas, or are they the new ones?
Oh, gosh, that I don't know.
Okay, are they small and they bloom multiple times a year, or they just bloom once a year?
they start blooming in November, and they're just now slowing down. They do great. They go about 6 months.
Wonderful. Okay, so that's the old-fashioned type. So that's wonderful. Yeah, give them a, you know, trim them up this month. Not a problem at all, and you can go ahead and fertilize at the same time.
Now, the ban, I thought that was mostly for lawns. You mean I can't use 666 on my flower gardens?
You're not supposed to be fertilizing at all.
Oh, my gosh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, vegetable beds, you know, I mean, it's just something that it's not really, I hate to say it's not really regulated, but it's not just for lawns. It's for, you know, any type of fertilizing on the ground. It's a fertilizer ban, okay? We don't need to have the phosphorus because of the rainfall. We get so much rain, and the phosphorus and the nitrogen do cause stormwater pollution, the stormwater runoff from using it.
Oh, thank you. I always telling people, don't, you know, feed your lawns. It's in June 1st. Don't feed your lawns for the next 4 months. You know, people are like, oh, go scratch. You know,
no, I'm like, you're right. No, you're right. But it just depends. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're you know, if you did just do it occasionally, use slow release, go ahead and do it now. If you use slow release fertilizers, that's good for 3 months, like, you know, Osmocote or Dynamite, you know, those long last prills, that'll get you through the summer and you can fertilize again back in September, the end of September.
And as I said once before on your show, I'm a big user. I try to get out weekly with the kelp, and I spray everything with the kelp. So.
Oh, okay. There you go. That's expensive, though, isn't it?
That's like $32 for, I think it's a gallon, but it lasts a long time. I mean, it lasts 2 years. I only use like a shot glass full.
Oh, there you go. Good for you. Thank you so much, Scott. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. And, you know, that's interesting. So just check your local ordinances. Not the entire state has a fertilizer ban, but your county should, and it should be located on the county's or city's website.
Exactly.
And, you know, we want to do, you know, make sure we're not getting it. Never fertilize before a rainstorm. And I tell people that, and they always, you know, I grew up with, oh, it's going to rain this afternoon, better get the fertilizer down.
Oh,
you know, and, you know, it's the wrong time to fertilize. You always fertilize after the rain. Mm-hmm. One, so your plants are hydrated, your turf's hydrated. That's a really good way. But also, two, in the first 15 minutes of a rainstorm, especially when it has that deluge and it just comes right down, you're going to lose it all to stormwater runoff. And so it's, you know, whenever you fertilize and nothing happened, it could be that you did it before rain and it washed it all away.
Yes.
It goes down into the drains, out into our lakes and water supply, and that increases the algae blooms. So there's no need to do it. I would like to thank Kathy Gents for coming on and talking about Reduce Your Lawn Day, which is May 20th. Okay, and just take a couple of feet out of your lawn here and there. Reduce the amount, and that will be much better for you. Environmentally, it'll increase your borders, less maintenance for you to do, and it's just a less, you know, stricter or more regulated way to do it. Just take out a little bit of your turf that you don't need. And she's really good at it. Check out Washington Gardener Magazine and her D.C., Gardener DC podcast, and I will be posting that later on today. So I appreciate her coming on. And then also the amazing Leah Brooks, and she's always so helpful and generous with her education, with her information, and her time.
And her excitement.
Oh, she always thrills me. She's just fabulous. And her Facebook page does make me hungry.
Yes. So thank you to our listeners, too.
Oh, we have the best listeners, and we love having you and being with us every week. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins with the great producer, Lizzie.
Thanks.
And we will be back next week for more of Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios and Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Go to betterlawns.com and you can replay all of our shows in the podcast area.